It's time for Voices from the Garden, a series that celebrates and explores an intrinsic mix of life lessons, faith stories, and glorious gardening adventures, told by those who experience them in their own words, exclusively on the Rose Chat podcast.
Rose friends, we have a real treat for you today. Our friend Elena Williams is here to talk about mini and mini floral roses. Elena has been growing miniature roses since 1998. A few years later, the mini flora class was formed, and that was a natural fit for her collection of roses. Arranging roses and horticulture exhibiting and judging are her favorite hobbies, but she also enjoys photographing roses. In 2011, Elena moved 60 mini and mini flora roses from Minnesota to Western Washington. Yes, she has experience that we need to learn about. So I have my pencil and paper, and I'm ready for Elena's class because it's time for Rose Chat.
Hey, y'all, it's Chris Van Cleve. I'm the creator of the Rose Chat podcast. For me, growing roses has become a passion. My membership in the American Rose Society has helped me to create the rose garden of my dreams right in my own backyard. I also enjoy the camaraderie and support of a network of rose growers who are eager to share, learn, and grow together. To learn more about membership in the American Rose Society, visit their website, rose.org.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey, Elena, it's good to have you with us.
Great to be here tonight. Thank you.
So how's the weather out in your neck of the woods? Is it spring?
Well, we sort of had a false spring. Staying around 28, 32 degrees. The ground was actually frozen this morning when I went out to check. A few more days of this, I think.
Oh, no, we don't like that after spring starts. Well, now tonight we're going to be talking about two types of roses that I don't have a lot of experience with. So I'm ready. I've got my pencil, I've got my paper, and I'm ready to learn. What's the difference between a mini and a mini flora?
Well, the mini roses have been around longer than the mini floras. There was a man named Ralph Moore in California. He was known to be the father of miniature roses. Now, I've also heard a story about something in 1937, Ruletti in Switzerland, but I like to think the story of Ralph Moore being the father of miniature roses is the one that I like to accept. So, Ralph Moore said that the miniature roses have tiny leaves and many branches on compact plants, and that the buds, flowers, stems, prickles are all reduced in size, all in proportion, compared to the larger plants. Now, the mini florists came on the scene about the time that I was just getting into roses. A man named J. Ben Williams trademarked that name. He started it as Mini-Flora. It's been since changed. But he gave that name to the American Rose Society in 1999. That was just about the time I was getting interested in roses. The mini-floras are known to be larger. Some of the hybridizers were crossing hybrid teas with miniatures to see what would happen. And also they were crossing floribundas with miniatures to see what would happen. Well, what they got were what we now call the mini floras, robust, beefy little roses. Sometimes they have one bloom per stem, and some of the others resemble a small floribunda.
Well, I've seen plenty of them. They sure are beautiful. So I've had a few. I think I grew Cupcake at one time. That's a mini, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that one?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it had perfect little blooms. And I think, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I had Mini Pearl. Was Mini Pearl a mini?
Yes, it was.
Okay, see, I've got more experience than I thought. Well, I don't see a lot of, I don't know that I've ever seen a mini flora, and I don't see very many mini roses in the garden centers. I do see them for, you know, Valentine's Day and that kind of thing in the grocery store, but I don't know if they're hothouse grown, how they do in my conditions here in the winter. So I'm wondering, where do you find them?
Well, you know, you're right, Teresa. There are not very many miniature roses or mini floras in the general garden center. Last year, I saw Cutie Pie. Weeks was selling it,
and this particular garden center happened to have a lot of the Weeks roses, and so they had Cutie Pie. And I did buy that just to see how it would do. But the large majority of the mini and mini floras that I get either come from Wisconsin Roses, because he's a personal friend, and he grafts
to some Rosa multiflora. And also, the best selection I found would be online at For Love of Roses. Past 20 years, a lot of the original places that were hybridizing and
selling miniature roses have realized that it's a very competitive business, and they were not, you know, being as profitable as you might hope they would be. And so a lot of the places have gone out of business, places have consolidated, and fortunately, Richard Anthony at For Love of Roses realized that, you know, hey, we need to start getting these together and propagating them and getting them out to the public, because there are people who still want these varieties. So he's really doing quite a great thing for lovers of miniature roses.
With all those to choose from, what are your favorites?
Well, I do have favorites. I tend to like solid color and blends, not stripes. Mm-hmm. And so the miniatures I'd recommend for the general national audience would be
a yellow called Bee's Knees, a white one called Irresistible, a pink blend by David, one of my favorite hybridizers, Joy, and a red blend called Magic Fill. And then in the mini flora category, I like a medium yellow called Buttercream that was hybridized by Bob Martin.
And I've seen pictures of that one. Ooh, it is a beauty.
It's a really good one. I've had it in Minnesota and here in the state of Washington. It grows equally well in both places.
Since Bob Martin's in California, I just assumed maybe it was a California cutie and wouldn't do well in Indiana, but if it did well in Wisconsin, it's going to do well in Indiana.
I agree. Give it, you know, you have to do winter protection, a huge amount of winter protection. That's how I originally got into the mini roses, because they're small, compact, and portable and easy to do all that winter protection.
Now, tell us what you would do for winter protection.
Winter protection, when I lived in Minnesota, was grow the roses in containers
between April and the end of October. And in the end of October, the guys in my family, my husband and two sons, would dig a huge trench about 6 by 8 feet. And I would bind up the roses, take them out of the containers, and lie them in the trench. And then we would cover them up again with the soil. And then in December, we would put bags of leaves on top of the mound and then reverse the whole process on the 1st of April.
Oh, my word. What a grand idea. And they made it.
They did. They would come up with green canes
just like the day I put them under.
My goodness.
Favorites. Mini floor favorites. So I like to be in rose shows. I like to take my roses and show them off, and so other people will grow. I've had pretty good luck with Showstopper,
which is an apricot blend mini flora, and also a white mini flora called Whirl Away.
Those is hybridized by David Clements. He does a lot of those mini floras,
and other than Joy, which he named after his mom, which is a miniature, he's named a lot of them after horse races. And however he decides to run his program of hybridizing, you know, the crosses and the size and the results that he gets really appeal to my eye. And so
get his roses, I do tend to purchase them. Now, I have some what I call local Pacific Northwest favorites. And again, I don't have a lot of experience growing these in other places, but in my area,
Seattle Sunrise, which is an apricot blend, Seattle Sunrise, a big winner. Powerhouse. You might have heard of that national green. It's a red blend.
And that's a great mini flora. And then the last one that's really big out here is Dr. John Dickman. Dr. John Dickman is a mauve rose with sort of a red circle on the edges of the petals.
Mm-hmm. And
in Northwest, we get a lot of cloudy weather and a lot of rain.
And it's not a joke, it's the truth. But what that does for our roses is they don't bleach out. Like in Minnesota and probably other places in the Midwest and maybe even in the South,
during the heat of the summer, the roses just change color and want to go white and all those kinds of things. Well, Dr. John Dickman stays that nice mauve with the red edge.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
It grows really well here.
So let's see. I'm sure you grow all of these roses, so you have to be asked for advice all the time. I've seen the pictures. They're so beautiful. So what would be your top two rose gardening tips?
Well, I think, when I thought about this question, I think
people need to learn about their native soil. You know, when I was a gardener, it was kind of random. I mean, I just thought, okay, I need to get the fertilizer, throw the fertilizer down. And, maybe I need this or maybe I need that or so-and-so said this, you know. Before you start throwing stuff down, I think people need to figure out, okay, what kind of soil is in this bed? What is the pH?
Bed. And, again, that's important because the roses can uptake the fertilizer best between 6.0 and 6.5 pH.
Mm-hmm.
Now, kind of a natural condition out here west of the Cascades where I live. But I know in the Midwest, it's up closer to 7. Isn't that true? Have you checked the pH in your garden?
Well, I have a pH meter and I do pretty well. I'm usually about 6.5, but I'm ready. You know, it's been a long time, so I'm ready for a full soil test this year. So I really believe in that. And, you know, if the soil's not right, nothing else is going to be right.
That's exactly true, Teresa. That's the first bit of advice I have. Oh, and I'm always trying to convince people that they should get local compost. Even here regionally, where I live, it's called Kitsap Peninsula, and we get this stuff called Ole Fish, which is literally fish compost. You know, and again, in Tacoma, they get something called tag grow, Tacoma, whatever, da-da-da-da. And then over near Seattle, they get something called Moodoo, which is from the farms, you know, a compost cow manure.
So I think you need to go with whatever is local in your area.
I think that's a fabulous idea.
Yeah, the second thing I think is really important is that people need to pay attention to their climate and the variations and know what to expect. And I learned that when I moved from the Midwest, which has a continental climate, out to the Pacific Northwest, which has a maritime climate. And everybody thinks, oh, it rains all the time in Seattle. Well, it rains 9 months in Seattle, and there's a drought for about 2.5 to 3 months. I mean, literally zero rain, and nobody realizes that. But when people come out here to visit, you know, of course they want to come in July and August because the weather's great. So wherever you are in this United States, you need to think about, what's your climate? Do you have to, you know, plan
for what's going to happen next month? When do you expect your, you know, last frost? When do you expect your first frost?
You know, planning, keeping a diary, all those things make it, to me, more fun. But it also helps you be more successful because, try as we might, I forget. What was my favorite last year, or what did well, or, you know, there's really no way to remember all of that. So keeping a diary, knowing your conditions and what happened when, I think can help so much. And just, you're just more informed, and it just makes it more personal, more fun.
Oh, I agree 100%.
Well, now, there's another thing we need to talk about. You've been showing us all those pictures on Facebook of this new bed. And every gardener that I know who's been gardening for a while is so envious of a new bed challenge. I mean, we love that, you know, digging new ground, getting it all ready. So tell us about your new project.
Well, I thought about it for a couple of years, actually. And I thought, you know, what am I waiting for? Just get it down on paper and make it happen. And so I did. I ran out of room for roses in the ground. With that drought that we have in summer, it's really tough to keep your containers watered at the correct level. So I really, my particular garden, my native soil is sandy, and so I have to, you know, put it on a watering system and all that. So I'm not into growing in containers as much, but raised beds to me are the way to go. So we had this view from our dining room, and it's a previous owner of this place had planted asparagus, which is great in the spring, but then the rest of the year, like you're looking at these, and it's like, okay, I'm tired of looking at these ferns. I can get asparagus for And so then I, you know, decided first I put the hose out and around, and I said to my husband, "What do you think about this?" He goes, "Yeah, go for it. Make it bigger. Make it bigger." And I'm going, "Okay." And so I got this spray for grass, and I, you know, then I sprayed it out of what I thought I wanted, and looked at that for a while. And actually, this is the part I really liked. You know, I designed it for 30 large roses on 3 feet center. Because that's, I wanted, originally thought I wanted to plant them on 2 feet, 2 foot center. But big roses grow really big here. And so everyone, oh, you got to put them on 3 feet center. Oh, okay, I'll do that. So I designed it for 30 large roses on 3 foot centers. And then again, I got some local workers to go with me over to Home Depot, and you know, it was the mathematics part of it was fun too, was figuring out how many bricks I needed, and then going out, figuring out. There's this place called Morrison Gravel, which has, you know, garden soil and Ole mix that you buy by the truckload, and so they have a calculator of how much do you need, you know. And I thought, gee, this is kind of fun. See if I get it right. And so all this stuff was delivered, and I got some workers to put it where I wanted it to be. And so it's doing really well so far. So far, I have 12 large roses that were planted last fall and 7 polyanthus.
I like the polyanthus, too. And something about their small size that I like. Again, it goes along with my liking miniature roses.
So I put those on a border, and then I've got some spots designated for roses this spring,
and then I've got some on order, don't we all?
Oh, yes.
Two, actually, that I
picked up today from my friend. We did
a group order, so to speak, and today I got Desdemona and Dainty Beth. So,
ooh, yes.
Yeah, large roses grow really well here, and being someone that always grew miniatures and mini floras, and then I go to these rose shows and I see all these wonderful large roses, and I think, that's my garden.
So, you know, one of the things I thought you'd ask me today was, how many roses do you have in your garden? And so this morning I went out and counted.
Well, great. I always love to know that. How many do you have?
Well, as of this morning, I had 182
roses. 53 are miniature and mini flora roses in dedicated beds, and they get the most attention and they get the first attention. And then the rest of them get the attention.
I love the David Austin roses, and I love the Dr. Buck roses, and then the hybrid teas. So this new garden is going to be mostly hybrid teas
and floribundas that I can use for exhibition.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you're an exhibitor, and I know you are, and you do beautiful things, those listening might want a tip or two about exhibiting. So what do you tell to the newbie wanting to get started in exhibiting?
I think everybody should have a mentor. I think consulting rosarians can help you very much. Usually the consulting rosarians in your area are the people that are going to grow the best roses, and they're going to be people who
show roses. And so
that can be a resource for
anybody who wants to try to grow better roses. Also, I always like to encourage people to go to a Rose Society meeting in their area. Now, sometimes that's hard to do because it's not very close or convenient. Mm-hmm. But a couple of years I go to the ones that are far away, and you learn different things at every group.
You sure do. We have people come, we have at least two and maybe three that drive an hour or more to get to us. You know, I just feel so, you know, blessed that they come. We have people coming from, you know, towns away because, you know, we're in the center of Indianapolis. You know, it's not just down the street for me too, but, you know, it's so great when we all get together and we share what we're doing and we share our ideas. And, you know, it's not just roses, it's friendships. And for people who like the same thing, it can just be such a special thing. I think everybody that loves roses would enjoy being part of such a group.
I think you're right, Teresa. I think the more that we can tell people that it's about roses and we'll teach you how to grow great roses, but it's also about the people.
Oh, it is. It so is. Now, there was a scary thing that you posted on Facebook that someone else was beginning to admire your roses from very near, and that was the deer.
Oh, yeah, it's true. You know, I think a lot of the wildlife go in cycles because we've been here 6 years, and I knew that they lived in a historical cemetery
about a block away. I mean, you know, it's just they were here first, and it's a historical cemetery. Nobody's been buried there for like 150 years. But we have a fence around our property, and we're on a hill, but the fence is not big enough, it seems, and they jump over the fence and sometimes get in, and so that's been a challenge. I bought one of those water blasters. Not sure
exactly what the
name brand is, but you attach it to your hose, and it's a motion detector, and then when the deer or people come into your yard and it's turned on, it will spray like a few blasts of water, like a sprinkler. And that has...
But one time we went away on a trip, and I forgot to tell my friend who was watching
my house about the water blaster. And
I went, when she went out to see the roses and got blasted with water, so.
Need to remember to tell that one. Well, I have a friend here that's very active in our rose society, and she has a deer problem extraordinaire. And she says that if she sprays deer away, she has roses. If she doesn't spray deer away, she has no roses. It's pretty bad. But that she says that really, really works. And in with the problem that she has, you know, you might try something like that if you need to, especially, I don't know how long it lasts, but if you're going to be gone for a weekend or something, just to deter them a little more.
Yes, because one of the master gardeners told me that the same deterrent doesn't work all the time. They get used to it. They learn, oh, that's a funny tasting one. I won't go there. Or, oh, the water blaster's over here. I actually put the water blaster in a pot, in a rose container,
and I moved the rose container around. So that
hey, you're pretty crafty.
Moved around because they, you know, they go, oh, the water's over there. I'll go over here. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's fun.
They're pretty and they're smart, but we don't like them that close to our roses because they just like them too much, and they can just take a great old big rose bush and have it for lunch, and that is just not acceptable.
Right.
Elena, it has been so fabulous to be with you, and I have a whole list of notes.
Well, good. I look forward to finding your new miniature mini flora pictures on Facebook, Teresa.
I'm going to do it. Especially, I've been wanting to do bee's knees, and I think I'm going to try cutie pie. So I think those will be mine for this year.
Sounds like a good plan.
Well, friends, Elena is a garden blogger, and we will put a link to her blog in the podcast notes. So until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of Voices from the Garden, an exclusive story series celebrating the human experience in the garden exclusively on the Rose Chat podcast. If you have a story to tell, email us at grow@rosechat.info. Voices from the Garden is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.